Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 6. We've been going through a series on Wednesday nights dealing with the firm foundation. And so we were looking at different, what we called blocks, that we need to be doing in our life so that we can be firmly standing on the truth of the Word of God. And in this world in which we live, that it's very obvious, it doesn't take long for us to realize that the truth is either distorted or truth is based upon what I think. And we are living in a world where men are arguing, men are pulling other men into courts, men are doing whatever, because this is what I think the intent was, or this is what I think the truth of the conversation was. And I'll tell you, Scripture is very clear that a man thinks that he's right, but as a man thinketh in his heart, it leads to destruction. And we're seeing that very easily lived out in our world today. And so we need to know that truth, and we need to get that truth. John 8:32 says that truth will set us free, and it's the freedom, I think, the freedom that we want in the world. I want free from the desires. I'd rather have a desire to follow God than anything the world has to give me. And although we get tangled up in some of that, and there are some of those little desires we want to have, like a nice big bowl of ice cream would be all right, you know, every now and then. But I had to give that up. I can't eat ice cream anymore, so I had to give that up. And I'm like, man, sacrificing and suffering for the Lord again. But anyway, that's how some people think sacrificing for the Lord works. But we need to realize that when we study this, and we're talking about these firm foundations, that's exactly what we need to place them in our life as. These things that when our world, and I don't have to explain it too much because I'm sure you've all been through things that have rocked your foundation of your faith. You've gone through life, things, tragedies, whatever it may be. They've rocked your foundation of your faith. And maybe you fell. Maybe you landed on your foundation and you had to get back up. But the key is never get off the foundation. Never get off the platform that God has created underneath you to hold you up and to keep you faithful. And so we need to be practicing these foundational truths in our life every day, because we do not know when that day will be our turn, when we are facing something that's going to rock our foundation. So that's the whole geared towards the thrust of the study. So we've looked at three of them, and we want to look at the fourth one tonight, but when we turn into Luke chapter 6, we want to go that whole section we've been studying through, and that's where we find our foundations. But we want to look at verse 46. And he says in verse 46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I do?" The fourth firm foundation that we want to look at is simply fulfilling God's request. We've got to fulfill God's requests in our life. You see, there's one thing that you and I can give God that I think he demands from us, and that's simple, faithful obedience. Simple, faithful obedience. Because that's all God wants of us. Because he takes that faithful obedience and then he does a work in us and through us. He uses us as the vessel. But he can't use the vessel if the vessel isn't faithful and obedient to be used. So what is the greatest calling? What is the will of God for your life? Faithful obedience. Everything else falls into place after that. So when we see this one, and again, as he's questioning this, here we understand basically what he's saying. How can you call him master when they say Lord, and yet refuse to obey what he tells us to do? See, the key thing of this is God, how does God want to communicate to us? I'm going to give you five of them, but let's see if we can get them before we start. There's five ways God communicates. What are the five ways that we know in our world? His word's one. Not another one. Holy Spirit, okay. I'll give you that one. That's two. There's a few, little bit more to that, but that's good too. What's another one? There's three more. What is... Helen already took that one. The word.
No.
We're here tonight at a prayer meeting. Prayer is pretty important. Third one, prayer. There's two more. There's a fourth one. One more. You guys are actually doing really well. I didn't think you'd get all these. Could be. This last one's going to be tough. And it really does have to go through. I'm going to give you that one. Because I have wrote down many counselors. That's Christian fellowship. Although some of the people we may fellowship, but we don't want counsel from. We'll play with that one. But we'll give you that one, Charlie. Good deal. So there's five ways. We're going to look at those because I think they're very important. First one we brought up, or I'd like to bring up, is that God communicates through preachers and teachers. Here, radio, so many avenues in which teachers can be heard. But again, obviously you got to make sure you're hearing someone that is being obedient in their own life to the Word of God. You know, that's one of the greatest faithful obedience that we need to practice, is simply faithful to the Word of God. So when you're looking for somebody to listen to, you got to listen to what they say, but more so you got to know that they watch what they do. They got to be able to live out what they preach. We're not going to be perfect as pastors and teachers. We're going to mess up here and there. But if you have someone who is a consistent, faithful, obedient to the best of their ability, even though they make mistakes, then you may want to listen to some of the things they have to say. So God uses the teachers. Then we talked about wisdom through counsel, or wisdom through fellowship. You know, there's a lot of people who feel you don't have to come to church to find God. You don't have to come to church to talk to God. You don't have to come to church to grow with God. And they're all very true answers. But we come to church because that's the family. That's where we get help. That's where we sharpen each other. That's where we find comfort in numbers. And so obviously it's also a command of God in Hebrews chapter 9. Not forsake the self assembling yourself together. So it's a command of God. That's the key reason. But the reason we come. So that's one of the ways. The third way I have down here is that he guides and directs through his word. He guides and directs us through his word of God. Everything we need to know is given to us through the word of God. Nothing more is ever going to happen in your life that the word of God has not addressed. Nothing. So obviously he speaks to us that way. The fourth one, basically, we mentioned prayer. He communicates in prayer. The last one is the one I want to keep it here, because we're going to do a little studying on this one. Is he really, to me, he speaks to me more when he leads and convicts me through the Spirit of God. That's why I give you that one, Jim. But what does the Spirit of God do? He leads and convicts. And so turn in your Bibles from Rome, or from Luke, and go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Christ is teaching the disciples at this point. He's teaching them and telling them that he is going to go. And as we see this verse, we're going to look at verse 7 through 14 tonight and look at it a little bit. But beginning in verse 7, in John 16, we read, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comfort will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of the righteousness, and of the judgment. Of sin, because they believe me not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you the things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." At verse 14, you need to mark that, underline that in your scriptures. Because the Spirit of God is the mouthpiece for God. Verse 14 says that he shall glorify me. He is going to glorify God. And how is he going to glorify God? What he receives of mine or of God, he shall show it unto you. One of the greatest ways that God communicates to us is through the Spirit of God that lives within us. And you know, that's the one thing that really can't get messed up. We mess up when we try to figure out the scriptures. We mess up when we try to figure out things out on our way. But when we let the Spirit of God lead us, and the greatest way he leads us is conviction. When we get a conviction in our heart and life, you can't just brush that off. Because that's the Spirit of God trying to lead us and teach us in a way in which God wants us to go, because he's the mouthpiece for God. So understanding that a little bit, there's a couple things I want to look at as we tear that apart a little bit. I want to read the whole thing, but then look at it. And we see in the first part of that, the first thing is that it's expedient or better for you that I go away, or the Comforter will not come unto you. Now, what he's saying is you will be better off without me. Now put yourself in the disciples' shoes at that moment. They were called by him. They followed him. They were walking with him. They were taught by the rabbi, the master, Christ himself. And so that's all they knew. You see, they had no clue who the Holy Spirit was. They had no clue what it meant to have the Holy Spirit live within you. Their only resource of following faithfully was the man or the God-man in front of them, Christ. And here's Christ saying, listen, you're going to be better off without me. Would that devastate you a little bit? I mean, to me, I'm sitting there with Peter and John. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. There's no way. How can I be better without you? You're my teacher. I am stronger in my faith when I'm with you, because I knew who I was without you. You see, their strength and their power came just in the presence of Christ. So he's trying to explain to them that they would be better off without him. Short time later, he did leave. Right? Shake your heads. We're all falling along here. Yeah, he did leave. He was dead, buried, and he rose again, and he ascended to the Father. And when he ascended to the Father, Christ told him in John 16, you're gonna need me to go so that. And we find them in Acts chapter 1 waiting. We find them up in the upper room waiting. And what happened to those lovable, rotten men when the Spirit of God came? They had a little extra power in them, didn't they? Because prior to the Spirit of God coming in their life, did you ever hear a message from anyone, any of them? Did you ever see any of those 12 apostles do anything extraordinary for God? Not one thing. They did absolutely nothing when Christ was present. They did everything after he left. And that's exactly what Christ tried to teach them. So obviously we look at this and we understand the difference. The difference simply being, it's better to have the power of God in you than the power of God beside you. Because beside you, you're still nobody. Beside you, you're still nothing. You're not going to make it work. It's the power of God in you. So with that power of God in us, we understand as we look at some more of the text. As we see this, he says again, when he says, howbeit, over in verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Why was it so important that he come? And if you look at that a little bit and see that and tear it apart, basically he's saying, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. The Spirit of truth, or the Spirit of God, is going to be speaking truth to us. So first thing we need to understand, the best way God communicates to us is through the Spirit of God that lives within us, his mouthpiece. He will never speak wrong. That's a friend. That's somebody I want to hang with. That's somebody I want to really listen to. no matter what he says, there's no wrong in it. That's somebody you can listen to. That's somebody that's better than any preacher. That's better than any prayer you can give. That's better than any Bible study you can have on your own. When you've got the Spirit of God speaking the words of God, and he's never wrong. And you see, that's what we need to really tap into. Because if we don't tap into that, then we're really relying on the other four ways of God communicating to us. And we have struggles with them because we mess those four ways up. When we pray to God, most of the time, we're praying to either tell God what we need to do, how we need to do it, and even how he needs to do things. God, you need to fix this. God, you need to heal this. God, you need, we're telling God what to do. I thought that was how God communicated to us. The problem is, don't you love those conversations when you sit there and go, the whole time. You can't get a word in edgewise. They won't shut up. You keep talking, they keep talking and talking, and you're just, nothing else you can do. Sometimes, none of, I have never done this to any of you. I'll be on the phone and I'll go, I give my ear a break. I'll hold it out there for 5 minutes. And I'll come right back. It's like, it doesn't change. Man, I won't tell you who does that most to me, but I love my mom. But anyway, as we see how important the Spirit of God is to us, don't ever stifle the Spirit of God in your life. Because number one is, he'll never tell you anything wrong. So, very important truth of that. Second thing we need to look at as we see all this is when we read that verse 13, that he, the Spirit of truth, is come and he will guide you. If you are thinking something wrong, if you are saying something wrong, if you are coming to a conclusion that isn't right, if you begin hanging with the wrong people, if you begin doing things in your life that isn't right, he's going to guide you. How he does that, I don't know. In verse 13, we find truth. In verse 13, we find he's guiding us. What does that look like? Sometimes it's a phone call from a doctor. Sometimes it's just you get that feeling. And I don't want to go on feelings. Emotions are great when they're used right. But when we live our life on emotions, we're most likely going to do it wrong. But when God gives us that, you know what? I just don't feel comfortable here. And there was an illustration. I got a text. I was later on in the evening from one of the guys, and he shared this in RU last night even, Chandler. He's one of the guys that spoke Sunday morning, and he said he was struggling with watching TV. He said, I always watch that show. I always watch. Is it normal that I feel wrong when I don't want to watch a nighttime sitcom? Oh, yeah. I'm texting him back and say, that's the Spirit of God in you saying something's more important right now. And it surely isn't that TV. You see, that's how we need to respond to the Spirit of God. We get, you know, I don't, this doesn't feel right. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be listening to this. I shouldn't be going with these people. I shouldn't be going to these places. I shouldn't be, that's the Spirit of God guiding you. And he's going to guide you. It's in red in my Bible. That means Christ said so. He is going to guide you. He'll speak truth, never wrong. He will never guide you into a situation that you will fall. Where's he going to guide you? Well, obviously, he's going to guide you down the path that God wants for you. If he's never wrong, never speaks wrong, where he guides you is probably a good idea. Listen to that, not feeling comfortable, not feeling right about it. It's a good thing because that's what allows you. Now, on the other side of that, that Spirit of God's also going to guide you to do things that you're just not comfortable with. He's going to guide you to maybe step out of your comfort zone to serve God. He's gonna guide you to talk to somebody that, well, I don't know, I can't talk to people. Well, maybe the Spirit of God's gonna guide you there, and guess what? He's gonna give you everything you need to speak at that time. So he's going to protect you as he guides you. He's gonna put you on the right path, And sometimes he's going to guide you to jump out of your comfort zone a little bit. Don't tell him no. Don't tell him no. Spirit of God, you know what? I just really feel like God wants me to be a part of this. I have no clue what I'm doing. I have no clue. Do it. Because I'm going to tell you what, when God moves, God guides through his Spirit, he wants you to accomplish something for him. And what is this building block? Faithful obedience. Follow through with what God asked. That's a huge building block of our faith. Because the first time God asks you to step out of your comfort zone a little bit, and you do that, and all of a sudden you get this unbelievable, like, wow, that was an awesome experience. You should have heard those guys Tuesday night. Those guys were out of their comfort zone Sunday morning, I'm telling you. But you know what? They all said, when are we going to do it again? I said, well, maybe, once a year. Then it went to twice a year. And then it went to once a month. I mean, these guys were excited about what they did because they stepped out of their comfort zone because God moved them to do that. And I'm going to tell you, God never moves you to a place that he's not going to bless you in. It may hurt, yeah. It may be difficult, yeah. But man, do you find God in a whole new level when you become faithfully obedient, following through with what he asks? It's there. Scripture says it's there. So the truth is spoken. He will guide you, but he'll guide you not only on, again, into the truth, because the truth of that, to me, that phrase there, into all truth, that word all means the path I'm walking. That means the life I'm to live. That all encompasses more than just knowledge. He's going to guide you to everything. And so when he guides you to the all, for, again, it says in 13, he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear that he speaks, he will show to you things to come. That's what it means to guide. He's going to guide you to things that are coming. He's going to prepare you like he could never prepare, or you could never be prepared any other way. So the amazing part is that you go back into Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and it says, we shall receive power, and after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It's the power of God in us. And I'm going to tell you, we do not tap in to that power. The number one thing that stops us from tapping into that power is fear. Number one, fear. I don't, there's no way. We just fear. We think about, what are the people going to say? What are they going to look? You know, what are they going to do? And boy, I'm not going to say it right, or I'm not going to do this right or that right. Listen, you know what? When God directs you into that, who cares? I'm coming to a point where I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I don't care what anybody's opinion is about me. I came into this world without your opinion, and I'll leave this world without your opinion. It doesn't matter. But God does. And sometimes God's going to direct you to do things that other people are saying, you're nuts. Why are you doing that? You're crazy. Yeah, I'm crazy in love with my God. And that's an amazing, when the Spirit of God leads you and guides you like that, it is simply amazing. So he's going to communicate this to us. And again, when the truth is shared, it will bear witness to the Spirit of God. And again, when we fail to fulfill what God asks, you better feel uncomfortable. When you tell God no, you better hope you feel uncomfortable. Because if you don't feel uncomfortable, that means you've told him no so many times your heart has become callous. And you're no longer hearing, you're no longer following God. And that's a very, very dangerous place for you and I to be as his children. So that's the challenge tonight. Man, we got to follow through. We got to listen. Because the primary function, I think, of the influence of the Spirit of God in our life is to give us the power to be comfortable doing what only God can do through us. And uncomfortable doing all the things that we can do on our own. We should feel uncomfortable. You know, we shouldn't only do what we think we're gifted to do and have a good ability to do. It's easy for me. Now, I'll use myself as an illustration. The one Sunday not too long ago, and I know I shared this with the Sunday night crew, but the one Sunday where my computer just went dead completely, I had absolutely nothing written down. And I'm standing in front on a Sunday morning, all of you, and I have no notes. I have total blank. And at that moment, and you know what happened? I forgot to plug my computer in the night before the battery went dead. It was all me. You see, that's working on my own right there. But you know what? God, you need to speak now. And I went through and gave the whole message. And listen, that was all the Spirit of God. Because on my own, then some timers are coming more often. I would never be able to put that all together. And it just amazed me. God, you need to speak now. And he did. So I wish he answered all of my prayers that quick. But he doesn't. But he taught me a valuable lesson that day. I plugged my computer in, for one. But he also taught me that when he wants me to do something uncomfortable, I will be comfortable doing it. If I'm going to do something comfortable for me, I ought to feel uncomfortable. And that's the difference about following through with what God wants you to do. Uncomfortable because he asked, but very comfortable in doing it because of who he is. That makes all the difference in the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love. And God, I pray as we just study through this that it becomes more than a study. It becomes a way of life. Lord, we need these things. We need to follow through. We need to listen to that Spirit of God that's in us. And God, I just pray that we realize that he is truth and he will guide us into all truth. That's every part of our life, every aspect. God, I pray that you stir us and you move us into the different ministries that you will have for us. God, we just thank you and praise you for who you are tonight. In your son's name, amen.